Good afternoon and welcome to the Power Up Show. You're with Mia and Paul, and as always, asking you the question, how can we take your business to the next level? Paul, what's on the agenda for today?
Good afternoon, Mia. Good afternoon, everybody. Great to be back with you again, and an exciting agenda we've got today.
How good was that song starting off?
Well, as ever, you've already stolen my thunder there.
Oh, I had to take it.
But we can't take the credit for the music because ever it's our guest that chooses the music. I'll introduce you in a second. And our guests always come up with some fabulous music. And I have to say, I did have to boss Mia around a bit just to tell her that we need to start with that one today to really lift the level at the start of the show. So on a packed show today, we're going to first of all go through, as we always do, in terms of questions that have come through from our listeners yourselves, through on our social media accounts and for other different places. And then we're going to introduce our fabulous guest today, Connie Mottshaw, who joins us from Online Spiderweb, and she's going to be sharing a wealth of knowledge around SEOs and digital marketing and such like. And then towards the end, we'll have Julian Annie from Pick & Mix. And I have to say, Mia, I was really inspired by the fantastic guests that they had in on their show last week. So hopefully we can have a little bit of chat with them a little bit at the end of the show as well. But no fabulous show lined up for you today. You're listening to Power Up with Mia and Paul on a live 90.5.
And welcome back. You're listening to the Power Up Show with Mia and Paul. And Paul, I must say, after last week's interview with Leah Zalmus, we had such a phenomenal feedback and so many people contacting us with so many questions, how to get in touch with her, the idea of mental toughness and what have you. What did you find in our various social media pipes this week in terms of questions?
Yeah, well, there's a lot that came through in terms of feedback that came through from Lee, and I've just there's one in particular I've picked out here as our first question. And this came through from Isaac, and Isaac said, Lee, it talked a lot about thinking like a CEO and mental toughness, and how can I help my team gain these skills was the question that came through from Isaac.
That's a very interesting question, because it is something we addressed in the show, Isaac, where we said, well, does our team need those skills? And the reality of that discussion was that not everybody needs to be thinking at that level, depending on what your roles and responsibilities are. And at what time do you need that critical thinking? At what time do we need to be able to make quick decisions? Do we need to be able to make rational, logical decisions? I mean, what was your takeaway from that conversation?
I guess probably fairly similar as well, in terms of, yes, it's a case of there's certain roles where you need to have that skill set, and other roles where it's not required, or it's less critical. I certainly don't necessarily know that there is actually one simple answer to that, other than the fact that people should contact Leah, which of course she'd love us to do. But there is only one Leah in the world, so some people probably know a little bit more than that. I think certainly some of it is very much about people thinking in terms of who needs those particular skills, and look, sometimes there are probably some other solutions that are actually out there which could be implemented. I don't know whether you had any further thoughts in terms of some quick things that come to your mind in response to that question.
Well, it's all about what level of thinking do you need. So I think we used the example last week of a production manager versus a sales director. What is, or I think it was dispatch supervisor
said. That was the role you gave me.
Correct. And the discussion around that was, well, what skills does that person need in order to be effective in their job, in order to work under pressure, and what is that pressure is identified under that role, and how can we strengthen that mental toughness muscle, I suppose is the best word. So I would, Isaac, highly recommend that you go back and listen to that podcast. Otherwise, reach out to either Paul and I, and we'll definitely put you in touch with Leah.
Absolutely. Okay. And there were so many questions that came through from Leah, and I thought but I've chosen a different one here. This one came through from Grant, and the question that came through from Grant was a long question, and we all know from the last week, basically, if I get too many long questions, I read out my teeth trip over. So I've paraphrased this one slightly. Apologies, Grant. But basically, the gist of what Grant was saying was, how do I get optimal performance from my sales team? And I thought I might throw that one straight to you, Mia.
Well, that's a great question, Grant. And as everybody knows, I love my sales. I love discussing sales. Getting optimal performance out of a sales team comes back to, what is the outcome? What are you trying to achieve? And a lot of companies might decide to, without unknowingly, they might actually sacrifice profit over quantity, and that's a very big problem. So what I say in terms of optimizing your sales team, have you got the right target market? Have you found the right buyers, or is your salespeople just running around doing busy work? In other words, are they investigating that market? And that's a very important thing, because I find time and time again that salespeople are just doing busy work. They identify a client who potentially, through uncle, auntie, whatever the case is, so far removed that they might require your service. Now, that's a very unproductive salesperson. So make sure that you've got a clear understanding of who that target market is. Make sure your sales team knows exactly what they're looking for. What is the criteria, for example, of the person that you're looking for? And then get them to do productive work. And, you know, I say quite often that salespeople tend to be lazy once they meet their targets. So make sure you know what the outcome is. What are you trying to achieve? And Grant, do not sacrifice. Make sure you're not sacrificing the profitability just to get the quantity out. Yeah.
And I think it probably aligns to some of the things you've heard me say in the past, Mia, as well. It's very much about, you know, people should, in any particular role, in particular sales, shouldn't just be busy being busy. Not being busy, it has to be targeted. So what salespeople do should be very much aligned to the outcomes that are required within the business.
And Grant, an interesting question and discussion to have is, how busy are your salespeople? Because if you've got a salesperson sitting 8 hours a day, how busy and productive are they? It might be that you need to have a chat with someone like Paul and relook at those working hours, because for the most part, you know, what time do they need to be busy?
Absolutely.
For what that's worth, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to move along in the interest of time. So the next question came in from Lucy. Lucy said, I've heard there are some strong penalties for not paying my staff correctly or my employees correctly. What should I do to avoid this? I think you might flip one straight back at me.
But I must just quickly share with you a story that a few years ago I missed. Is it the 1st of July when we do wage increases?
That's correct.
Yes, and I completely missed that when I was with a previous company. And trying to unscramble that egg was a nightmare. It took me probably the better part of July to figure it out. But yeah, I'd love to get some feedback from you how I could have saved time on that.
Well, yeah, you didn't know me at the time, did you, Lee? So bad luck on that one. Look, the one of the problems with this is, if we like, the deeper it gets, the more complicated it gets. So I guess being proactive is very important. And for employees that are paid on an award, or even pay employees that pay above award, it's important to monitor in terms of what is the actual award pay, because often I hear from clients that we pay above the award, but there's also a bit there about actually making sure that they're paying above the award as well.
So if I'm paying above the award and the wage increase goes through and I just miss it because, well, seriously, it wasn't on my radar and it wasn't my expertise and strength, so I had no reason to be thinking about it. And if I'm paying above award, do I get penalised for the fact that I haven't put through the increase?
I think certainly, obviously, when these things happen, if there are penalties that can come in for that, circumstances are always taken into control. So it's very hard to give a black and white answer on that one. The important point is always to be proactive. And I think a lot of it starts with making sure even that the job descriptions are in place, are aligned to the award levels, and making sure there's a process that actually determines that. And then just keeping it on top in terms of what the changes that take place. There's some very good free tools out there that are on the Fair Work websites that enable you to keep track in terms of what the pay should be, and also some alerts you can set up there as well. So there's a lot of free tools out there.
But the other thing, Paul, can we get that on our Facebook page for people?
Absolutely, beautiful. Absolutely right. And I think the important thing though is if it becomes, I think two things I would say. First of all, it's important there is the right kind of alignment there in terms of making sure that the role that's there is aligned to that award level correctly, which is often a point that's missed. And second thing, if it gets to the point where there has been an oversight, that also might be a time to start thinking about actually, well, that might be a time to actually get a good employment lawyer plugged into that process as well, to make sure that somebody there that's actually supporting you. And there's some great people in our networks really that operate in that
beautiful
space.
And for our listeners, we now have our Facebook page up and running, which is Power Up, Taking Your Business to the Next Level. So do go out and look for it. And Paul, you'll pop some of that information on that page for people to grab?
I certainly will.
Beautiful.
You're listening to the Power Up Show with me and Paul, Taking Your Business to the Next Level on Live 90.5 FM.
Paul, we have a phenomenal guest.
We do.
She's going to be held accountable for a few things today, but maybe before we put her in the spotlight, let's introduce her properly.
Yeah, this is the point where I actually get to embarrass you both considerably.
I mean, you get to try, but it's 2-1 here, so I don't like your chances.
Yeah, I do feel slightly outnumbered. We'd like to welcome Connie Watshaw today to our show. And the story is that through a chain of various networking events I went along to, I met Connie. And it was actually at a networking event that Connie runs in the Hills that I actually met with Self Mayor.
That's right.
So Connie's responsible for a lot of things, including putting us together. So so welcome, Connie. I'm just going to say a few more things about you, sorry, to embarrass you a little bit further. So Connie is a Hills local, a business owner now herself for 17 years. She created Online Spider Web back in 2013, which is a website and digital marketing agency. And she's built many familiar sites, including Hills District Mums, which is one I hear about quite a lot and have done for a while. Prior to that, she actually started and ran a satellite dish installation company with her husband for 12 years. It's a bit ago I didn't know you back when I lived in Epping in the early 2000s and couldn't get any satellite coverage and was deprived from a lot of great sport. But moving on.
That's darts, by the way.
That's darts,
yeah. Paul speaks about sport, he speaks about darts.
Yeah, I mean games rather than sport, as you say. Connie has three children, one in daycare, one in primary, one in high school. I think I might have actually dropped a clanger once when I suggested that the one in daycare could have been for a second marriage, which wasn't the case. She enjoys time reading and away currently through Perfect Pitch. And Connie, you're learning to play an instrument as well, aren't you? What instrument are you learning to play at the moment?
Violin, and much to the disgust of my husband and three boys, because it doesn't sound great when you first start bowing. But I'm enjoying it, so yeah.
Should have brought the violin fantastic. In. I mean, yeah, you'd love right. to hear it.
No, you wouldn't. Not yet. Maybe in 6 months.
Well, we're going to hold you to that, Connie.
A warm welcome to you. It's fantastic to have you here today. Really, really pleased to have you in as our guest today.
And it's absolutely. Really and Connie, one of the reasons we invited you on the show is because so many organisations out there claim to be able to do SEO. And in my experience and my knowledge, and I know time and time again I get pushed down that road, so I do have maybe a 75% understanding of what you do. I must say that you are in this Hills area and Parramatta and Cumberland. You are probably one of the better organisations to deal with, because you know exactly what you're doing and the information you give is of so much value. So that's why we wanted to get you on the show. We only take the top of the top, and here you are. But before we get started on SEO, let's play our game. Paul, last week we cleared the board for you and we are now 1-0 to our guests. Are you ready to see if you can even that score out?
I'm ready, providing you're choosing a topic that actually I've got any chance at, as normally you don't.
You know everything about fashion, right?
Science doesn't sound good on here, does it?
Okay, so as always, your name is your buzzer. Paul, you can be George today. So just yell out your name and give us the answer. Are you two ready?
Ready.
Ready.
I'm a heavenly body. People used to think I was just another star. Herschel discovered me with a telescope in 1781. He named me the Georgian planet. My current name didn't come into use until 1850. I have 11 known rings and 27 confirmed moons. Only Jupiter and Saturn are bigger than me. I am the seventh planet from the sun.
George.
Connie.
George, go.
Mars.
No, Connie.
Uranus.
Yes. The next question was, I am the butt of all jokes.
Oh.
I am an informational and entertainment tool. I am sold in shops and on street corners. People like to start the day with me.
Connie.
Yes.
Newspaper.
Yes, correct. Oh, that's 2-0. Paul.
I'm doing well.
Come on, you can do this one. Exactly what I am, no one knows. Nevertheless, the world is ordered around me. Devices of all types keep track of me. Sam sang of me in Casablanca. Cyndi Lauper also sang of me. People.
George.
Yes.
Time.
Yes. Yay!
Well, I got one. That's my first one of the year.
I was going to say the sun.
Okay, the last one.
It was a Cyndi Lauper bit that got it for me there, I would say.
I'm an entertainment item. I'm associated with celebrations. I come in many colours. Children love to fill me with water.
Connie.
Yes.
Balloon.
Absolutely. Hey, well done. So what's that, Paul?
I do believe I may have lost again. 2-1.
Yes, I feel
who's
like
counting?
Potentially.
Connie, you've won. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Shake your hand.
When we come back, we're going to start talking everything SEO with Connie and what business should be doing in order to ensure that their website is on track and working for them. Connie, when we look at a website, I know that many people have said to me that I've spent $6,000, $7,000, $12,000 on a website and it just doesn't seem to be giving me the traffic that I want. I'm not getting any engagement on it. Nobody's looking at it. And I then ask them the question, well, what are you actually doing on your website? So what is your... I think there's a misunderstanding about the power of a website.
Absolutely. So great question, Mia. And I have a lot of clients that come to me with the same or even people in the community that come to me with the same problems. And I think there's a misconception that, you know, once you put a website up, you know, you go live with your website and you've spent a lot of time and money, you know, even tears, putting the right messaging together and making it look beautiful. But digitally, the you know, once you put a website up, it's a little bit like you've just built a house on a deserted island. And if you want people to come to that deserted island, then you need to invest in the infrastructure and the marketing to attract people to come to that deserted island, or, you know, start connecting with the mainland. So once you've put a, once you've launched your website, you need to, or even before you've launched your website, you should be thinking about, well, how do I get in front of the people who are ready to spend money with me?
When you say that it's like a deserted island, so you're saying to me that I can load my website, I can bring it live tomorrow, and I can have all the information there for people to be looking at, but just having information there is not enough. Do I have to keep on updating it? What do I need to do to make sure that, A, it gets in front of people, and how do people find me, or how do people find content that I'm writing? How does that whole work, whole thing work?
Well, if you liken it to the roads and infrastructure concept again, there's different avenues of getting people to your website. So you hear a lot about SEO, where people might put in a search term.
And for our listeners who don't know what SEO is, what is that?
So SEO is an acronym for search engine optimization, and that just means that when people type a keyword phrase in, let's say, for example, it's... plumber,
like a Live 90.5 or radio station
or plumber, Castle Hill, then you want to be on the first page of those results that people are getting when they're typing that search term in. And investing in SEO is what helps you be on the first page for those search terms. Then you have things like Google Ads.
And we're going to get into a little bit more detail around Google Ads, because that's quite complicated.
It is.
So I want to just, apologies for interrupting, I want to just take you a step back to the deserted island. So what you're talking about is building that map, the little crumbs
building the
to
roads,
find.
Building the roads into your website or house, as we were talking about with the deserted island.
And that's
island.
When you get on the front page of Google.
That's one of the ways. That's one of the ways. One of the ways of bringing people to your website is... being on the front page of Google.
So what are the other ways? So the one is building those roads, which entails Google Ads, you said?
Yep.
SEO optimization, so mm-hmm. that's a search engine, those phrases. What are some of the other ways?
Well, we shouldn't forget offline activities as well. So physically, you know, giving your business card to somebody with your website on it, going to networking events and things like that we're doing. But they're the major ones to be looking at when it comes to, you know, probably most of our listeners and the types of businesses that they have. And it's not about trying to do everything. It's just about really niching down into who your ideal target audience is and getting in front of them.
And that's good to hear you talk about giving out business cards and going to networking events, because always for me that's something that's far more familiar to me than when we start talking about SEO, because I have to say it's a world that I'm still very much learning, and it's great to get you in to share some of this, Connie. We're going to drag a lot more of this out of you today, if that's okay. But certainly, I guess what interests me is that can you help me understand and the connectivity between giving out your business card with your website address on, and how that will might actually help somebody in their business?
So your website is part of the whole sales pipeline, okay? It's an extension of offline and online activities that you're already doing. Now, obviously, you can only give your business card to so many people. You know, the SEO part is trying to get as many people as possible clicking to your website. So giving someone your business card doesn't necessarily help your SEO. But building that relationship with them, you've already met them face to face. So having the online presence with a website basically fortifies that you are in business, you're online, you're accountable, and you're not sort of a hobby.
Hmm.
Just want to quickly go to a break, and then can we talk a little bit more about SEO? I think you used the example of a plumber in Castle Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And could you talk us through what a, for example, plumber would do in order to get rated on that first page of Google? Some of the strategies Absolutely. That they could implement.
Mm. No, I'd love to hear more about that.
Now, back to Connie. We were talking about a plumber who was looking at getting a little bit more coverage with their website, not just putting it up and hoping for the best. And you mentioned, you know, Plumber Castle Hill, and we'd love to go through some strategies that I imagine any business could use. So we're going to put plumber, but insert your business name here.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we get that SEO done in order to get onto the front page of Google?
So what's really interesting with service-based businesses, service and professional-based businesses, is Google has a set of listings that come up that are attached to a map. You might have seen that when you put in something like a restaurant or, you know, a service type.
Yeah, and then it's got directions and phone, a little direction tab and a little phone, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. So something like 80% of searches for services such as those start with Google and come up with those results. So the first few results that come up will be ads. So three or four of those will be ads. And if you want to be there, then you have to pay for Google ads. Now, the next set of results are those three businesses that Google selects to be in that map pack. And there's a couple of really great things about those results that businesses can leverage. And one of those is social proof. So you might have seen when you go and when you're looking for a business and you see those results that some of them have stars.
Mm.
Now, if you're going to, you know, you're looking for a plumber or electrician or even going to a restaurant, which one are you going to choose first? Are you going to choose the one that's got 10 stars or the one with zero? I'm sure that most of us are going to choose the one with the stars.
Yeah, it's interesting because if I'm going to look for a new restaurant or I'm trying to get somebody in, I always look at their ratings. And the interesting thing around that is they could have got 27 of their closest friends and family to give them that rating, but just intuitively I look at that rating and go, yep, you're the best.
Yeah.
So, Connie, that's really, I mean, for someone with my limited knowledge, I'll be confessed to you, it's a little bit like you've got a scenario whereby, for me, I relate it to more in terms of if I'm looking for a hotel and I might look on things like TripAdvisor and see the kind of like where the ratings sit there. So it's the same sort of concept with Google.
It is, and Google actually pulls in some of those third-party reviews as well. Onto that listing. So getting reviews on other platforms like TripAdvisor just strengthens that listing. Mm. So the other great thing about being in that local map pack is the tap to call button. So if people have decided, okay, you know, I just need this plumber or electrician right now, particularly with those services, people are normally in a hurry, instead of having to go to the website and find a phone number or contact, they can just tap that phone number if they're looking at you from mobile, which at least 50% of them are doing, and they can connect directly to your phone.
So how do I get in that map pack?
So that's where SEO comes in, and that depends on what your competitors are doing. So it depends on the industry and your competitors. Sometimes it can be easy if your competitors are not doing much. If they are doing a fair bit, then it'll take a little bit more work to do that. And that comes down to the content that you put on your website, making sure that it's optimized for Google to actually index it, and you know, and continuing to keep your content frequent and up to date.
So when you say content, if I'm, for example, a plumber, I mean, what content am I going to be putting up in order for Google to be indexing what I'm putting up?
Firstly, it's about doing the research, finding out what people are searching for, and then creating your content around that. So when I say content, I'm talking about the actual words that you're putting on your website and how the website is structured. So imagine your website like a site map with all the pages and the hierarchy, you know, like a site map. So it's making sure that you're using the terms that Google are saying that people are looking for. So, you know, you might call, you don't want to be using industry jargon or, you know, or, you know, shortening words with how you would with your peers. You want to use terms that people are actually searching for, and there are free tools that will show you exactly what they are.
So when you say free tools, those are tools that are going to tell me what words people are searching for. So if I'm a plumber.
Yep, and how much traffic they're getting.
And what are those free tools?
So the Google Keyword Planner is one of them. There are a few others. I guess Google Keyword Planner and probably SEMrush would be the easiest ones to use. I would start with those.
And where do you find that? Do you just put in
just Google them. If you Google Google Keyword Planner or SEMrush, then you'll come up with those results.
So in order to get into that pack, there's got to be a little bit more, because how does Google know my address? Do I have to register my address with Google? Is that any value in having your address out there and being on Google Maps? I know in the past with companies I've worked with, they've said, you know, let us register your, is this your business? Or they send me some correspondence saying, is this your business here? And then organizations, some business owners go, oh, that's going to cost me money. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to register where my business is. But I see that a lot of businesses are doing that.
It doesn't cost anything to register a Google My Business page. So even if you don't have a website, you should be doing that. And to note, not all business types get a map pack listing. So if you're selling, you know, if you're a clothing store or something like that, you might not, your business type might not have a map pack. But it doesn't cost anything to register. Sorry, what was the other question you asked me, Mia?
Just in terms of, oh, I forgot. Oh, that's terrible.
Don't look for me for inspiration. I'm madly writing some of this down. I'm just thinking in terms of, it'd be really good to share some of this after the show as well for our listeners, because I think you give some great advice there, Connie, in terms of some free things that people can take away.
When I registered my business, sorry, Paul, I'm jumping in top of there because I'm conscious of time and we need to go back to a break. When I registered my business, should I only be registering it with Google, or are there other places I can register my business with to get more social proof, so to speak?
Absolutely. And now I remember what I was going to say before we forgot. So some businesses don't want to register that, or that they don't want the public to see their address on the Google Map Pack, and that's fine. You can actually still have your business listed in there without showing the public your address, because you might be, you know, like a plumber or electrician goes to everybody else but may not have a office location. And now I forget the other question that you asked me.
Is there anywhere else we should be registering our address?
Oh, yes. Definitely, and this will really help your search engine optimization and pushing you up to get into that map pack. And that is going out and listing on as many directory sites as possible. So I'm talking about sites like TrueLocal, White Pages, what else is there? They all escape my mind now, but
it's what I would have called the old phone book.
Exactly. Yep. The council, Hillshire Council have one.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. I mean, if you're in, you know, for the business owners out there, if you're in the Hillshire Council, they've got a free directory, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
That you can list with, and I'm sure Parramatta and Cumberland has something very similar.
Yeah.
So it's worth finding out where to list your business for free and get that social proof.
Absolutely. And also, what it does is it, particularly if you're just starting a brand new website, is the domain authority, or the kind of how much Google trusts existing websites like the Hillshire Council. When they provide a backlink to your website, that gives your website more authority.
Well, so you just mentioned a new term, backlink. So I think we're going to head off towards the news now, because the news is going to come through at about 1 o'clock. So we're going to head off to the news. When we come back from the news, let's just chat a little bit about what you mean by backlink. But I'd like to also continue the conversation. When you look at that first page of Google, you mentioned there's 3 or 4 ads there. That's paid ads. Mm. You've now mentioned the map, the Google Google Map Pack. And I'm conscious of the fact that after that, there's not a lot of space for my business now to be showing on the front page of Google. So I'd love to have a chat with you a little bit further about that when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Alive 90.5. This is The Power Up with Mia and Paul.
Now, Connie, we are looking at an example. We're talking about plumbers in Castle Hill. And Paul, I think you've done the same. Mm. We've both just popped on our phone, because I think you mentioned earlier, what are the stats for the amount of people who use their phones now to view content on the internet?
Look, it's more than 50%. It's changed in the last year or so, but I think it's creeping up to more like 75 or 80% now. Okay. But again, it's going to be different across different industries.
Yeah, okay. So for me, I'm standing in my bathroom and I'm looking at, I don't know, the toilet overflowing, whatever the case is. So I've got my phone and I've typed in Plumber Castle Hill, for example. I noticed that there are 3 ads, which we've discussed. I noticed the map pack now. And then underneath that, there's really not a lot of space again before I'm hitting, you know, before I'm losing interest.
Absolutely. They say the best place to find a dead body is on page 2 of Google.
Well, Paul, if anyone's looking for you, you'll be on page 2 of Google.
If I'm lucky. But it's interesting when you say that as well, because I'm thinking about how often have I actually ever clicked beyond page 1 of Google?
Never. I've never. I'm going to just try that.
And I don't think, I think I might have, it's funny, if it might have only been the last couple of weeks when I was looking for something that that I did, only because I didn't like all the options on page 1. But, you know, you're talking about a very low number there.
Yeah, so I'm looking here at Google, I've gone past the map pack, and chances are, let's be honest, chances are I'm probably going to stop at the map pack. That's just my personal way of doing things, and that's because of that little button you said, the phone button.
Mm.
It just removes all complications for me, and I'm just going to press dial and be done with it. But now I'm going into the next part of Google, and I'm seeing, what am I looking at now?
Well, actually, for that category, the plumbers in Castle Hill, you're seeing the next few results under that map pack are directories, like we were discussing earlier.
Mm.
So you definitely, if you're doing a search for your own industry and that's what you're seeing in the results, then you want to get onto those business directories.
And I'm noting that there's rating there too.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can see the social proof
with
those as well. So beyond that, if you want, you know, you're wanting, obviously wanting to get on there, and you may even get on there before you can get into the map pack. But what I would suggest for business owners to do firstly is you need to research your target audience, because all the, you know, doing all this work to get people onto your website and then they find that it's not speaking their language, you're wasting a lot of energy.
When you say not speaking your language.
Well, you need to be speaking about the problem that the clients or the website visitors are looking to solve. Not, you know, it's not all about you know, how long you've been in business or welcome to my website and things like that. It's about what, you know, it's about you articulating the problems that people are looking to solve, so that they then take that next step and pick up the phone.
Okay.
Okay. So researching your target audience, I mean, you know, what do they look like? How old are they? Are they male or female? Are they mums? And then that leads into things like, if you know exactly who they are, then you know how they're describing the problem, and you know where you can get in front of them. Where do they hang out? Is it on Facebook? Is it on LinkedIn? Is it on Instagram? Is it at networking events? So, you know, you don't want to be, if you're trying to attract everybody, then you're really not going to get those click-throughs on your website, because you're not speaking their language.
So we've discussed, I mean, that's just my habits. Paul, I don't know about your habits, but I tend to stop at the map pack. Do you go further down than that? And if you do, what are you looking for?
Look, I think it depends on what I'm searching for, which I know sounds like it's a complicated answer, but it does depend on what I'm looking for. I think often I actually might even stop at the ads. So I suppose probably I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about that.
Okay, so if I don't want to spend, and we're going to get back to ads, because I don't want to touch on ads yet, because I think not a lot of business, let's not generalize, we hate generalizations, but we do it so often on the show. But business get turned off sometimes because they think ads are so expensive, and they are. If you get the wrong Google AdWords, and that's, you know, a whole can of worms by itself, you could spend an absolute fortune. So let's move past the ads. What should business be doing in order to rank organically underneath that map pack?
Okay, so firstly, the first one was researching your target audience, making sure you're speaking their language, and then investigating your competitors. So for some industries, it may be quite easy to rank for the keywords that people are looking for, because your competitors are not doing much to rank on the first page either. And then, you know, other industries might be spending a lot of money to get there. So there are tools that you can use that will actually tell you what keywords your competitors are ranking for and using, and also what backlinks they have to get them, you know, to lift their authority in the search engines. So you need to do that research before you start investing in, you know, changing your content or doing ads or anything like that. It's all about putting in that research and investigation first.
So for our listeners who are business owners who haven't done this yet, they go to, you said, Google AdWords?
Keyword Planner.
and SEM Rush was another option. Mm-hmm. And what do they do? Do they just type in Plumber Castle Hill, because that's the example we're using, and just see what comes up? Or do they say leaky pipes, toilet overflowing? What are some of the words that they may... I mean, Connie, just for the record, Connie is not a plumber. So I'm really putting her on the spot here. So for all the plumbers listening out there, hey, guys, you're all awesome.
And they're getting some free advice.
Yeah, you're getting some free advice. But I might just put a little, you know, a warning here that Connie might not be giving you the right words to be looking at right now, unless you've got a hidden talent we don't know about.
Okay, so if they're going to use these tools, you do need to be quite technical. So the reason why a lot of business owners don't do it is because they can go onto a tool like that and it can be overwhelming if you don't know what you're looking for. But, you know, the great tools that we have at our disposal is that you can, you can put in Plumber Castle Hill and it will tell you who is ranking for it. And
do you mean like the competitor?
Yeah, like the competitors. It can tell you how much traffic those keywords are getting and if it's even worth going after those keywords. So, you know, if you put in a keyword Plumber Castle Hill, I'm sure that's going to have a lot of traffic. But let's say, for example, you put in a particular service, there might not be a lot of traffic for that. So you might want to work on a different keyword phrase to rank for first before you worry about those services to get people in the door.
So let's put this a little bit practical so people understand when we talk about keywords and what have you. So let's say we got Mia's Plumbing Services, Paul's Block Your Drains, and Connie's Unplug My Pipes. I don't know. That's where we're at. And we've got a new person coming into the market. And for example, in all my advertising, I've got plumbing. So I really put plumbing as a word and plumber as a word. Paul comes along and he would have, for example, plumber, because he saw that was what I was using. And then he might add pipes or unblock pipes. Mm. Please, plumbers, again, I think we can all agree that between the three of us,
we're not technical.
We have no idea the words we should be using. And then you come along and you say, right, plumbing, plumber, pipes, unblocked drains is probably something that people are searching for. So is that what you're saying about looking for those keywords and understanding what people are using in their message?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So those tools will tell you what people are looking for and all the synonyms that go with it. So it will actually, if you put in a keyword like Plumbing Castle Hill, it'll actually give you a list of terms like that you could also use and how much traffic they're getting. So you don't need to know all the keywords in your head. If you just put out, you know, the main ones into those tools, then you'll start getting feedback about what else you can use.
And those tools are all free. So business owners who are struggling for finance at the moment, as you said, it is a little bit technical, but I'm certain there are YouTube videos and what have you that
absolutely
people can help you with for now. But as you go through that and you start to rank organically to get underneath the map, that does mean moving forward you can look at investing in SEO a little bit more heavily in order to be ranking more organically and higher up on that list.
Yeah, that's right. Setting up your website infrastructure so that it's easily readable by Google and the other search engines is really important. And that's the other thing that, because obviously putting content up that people want to read, you don't want to just write things on your website just so that you can rank on the first page, because you'll get blacklisted pretty quickly for doing that. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a balance between what do the search engines want to see and what do people actually want to read, so that, you know, they're not coming to your website and then just leaving and never coming back.
All right, when we come back, we're going to discuss a little bit more about the ranking organically and tools and tips about what content to put on. And I understand, Connie, you're not a copywriter, and we do have a copywriter coming on the show in 3 weeks, but keep tuned to our Facebook page. We'll load it up there and you can see when that's going to happen. But in terms of SEO, there are ways to start ranking organically and there should be things you're doing on a regular basis in order to do that, yes?
Yes.
Okay, and when we come back from the break, we'll have a further discussion. I know, Paul, you've got some questions too that I think
Have indeed. You're back soon. You're listening to Power Up with Mia and Paul and our guest Connie on Live 90.5.
Now, Paul, before we went on a break, we had this discussion. You know, you and I have had many discussions over time about websites, SEO. How do we get people's attention? How do we drive traffic to our website? And quite some time ago, before you and Connie sat down and chatted about website, you had a very interesting statement and comment that I think you probably made to both of us. Do you want to just share that with the listeners? And Connie, just talk you through where we were at with that.
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, I have to say I've been on a bit of a journey in my understanding on this. And I think that maybe I'll just go back to how we have a discussion a little bit earlier on where we talked about you're a networking event and you hand out a business card. Your web address is on there, but that's whilst that's important, it's about basically using that to get people to come back to your website. But it's also about actually how do you actually then draw traffic into your website from what the content you're putting on there as well. And just really wants you some insight from yourself, Connie, on that particular point about the importance of actually how people meet you. They and sometimes I used to have that view that people actually would be in a scenario whereby people are only going to come to me. My website's not going to draw traffic, but I've been on a journey on understanding that by just, I guess, by the content that goes on there. So just really wanted a bit more of your insight on that topic, really.
Yeah, okay. So I think what you're getting at, Paul, is a lot to do with content marketing and how people buy from you. And you'll probably find when you're having a one-to-one conversation with someone that the words that you use, when you start articulating their problem and how you solve that problem, that's when their ears kind of spike up and you get their attention. And that's what content marketing is about, articulating your ideal customer's problems and taking them on that journey of how you solve it and what the experience is going to be like working with you. So, and the secondary factor there is staying top of mind, because something like 97% of people, when they first see your service or product, they may like it, but they may not necessarily be ready for it at that at that time, at that touch point. So having multiple touch points is extremely important, so that you stay top of mind, so that when, you know, for example, going back to the plumbing business, you know, they might not need a plumber right now, but in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months' time, all of a sudden their toilet breaks and, you know, they need someone that they trust. So if you've been offering value and staying in touch with that person for that 12 months, then they're not even going to look for somebody else. They're just going to go straight for your card and, you know, I need your help right now. So it's about having a pipeline established that is sustainable for a business owner to run 365 days a year, so that it's constantly keeping the people that they've, you know, you go out and give your business card to somebody. How do you stay in touch with that person in a way? Because you don't have time to sit down and send 100 emails every Monday morning and keep adding to that every week. But, you know, putting in processes and systems that offer value to those people and keep you top of mind.
I love the expression you use there, content marketing. It's you always have a good way of describing things. I come up with a bit of waffle and you manage to lock it in a couple of words. That's why we get experts on the subjects here.
Yeah, and something that people, I think one of the concerns and issues Paul and I had right at the beginning of our journeys was that I'm giving someone a business card, so there's this expectation they're going to look at my website. But what about those people that I don't give a business card? What about Joe Blog in Company X? He would ideally require my services, but I have no way of meeting up with him. He's so isolated from me. How do I drive him towards my website? And that goes back to content marketing again, doesn't it?
Content marketing, SEO, ads possibly.
So it's basically making sure. So for example, if we said, if you're talking about a sales director who types in tips for cold calling, and they would then be directed, for example, to my website. They could then see my contact. Now, I've never met this person, so it could be me, it could be, you know, HR strategies, it could be marketing strategies, whatever it is. It's something they need to learn because it's a pain point that they have. And if you have, as you said, the right SEO going on, and you are keeping top of mind, people will become familiar with your content. And ideally, your website should become a tool and structure to bring in more sales.
That's right. So a resource, it could be that it's a resource, like you were saying, with you know, someone that needs to do a little bit of research, and maybe they don't know what the solution is yet until they've done that research, and you want to make sure that the content on your website is what's showing up, so that people can get to know that you're the authority in that industry. And following on from that, you need to then tell people, okay, well, I've read this information, what should I do next? Don't assume that people you know, read a page on your website or you put out a blog post and it's great information and you've spent a lot of time putting it together, and then assume that people know, okay, well, I should call her now, or I should fill in this form now, or you've got to actually show them what to do next. So having a well thought out call to action at the bottom of that content is really important, so that you're actually getting return on your investment.
So it's very much about having a forward plan in terms of how people engage with you ongoing.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about how your sales conversions work in person, you want to kind of mirror that in your online experience. So if people are happy to buy from you just, you know, by clicking on if you're selling widgets, for example, and people are just happy to buy that $20 widget online and you don't need a lot of one-to-one time to do that, then that's what your website should be set up to do. But if you're providing a service where people want to get to know you first, then your website needs to kind of mirror that experience, give them the value and give them that process of getting to know you better before you're expecting them to commit.
No, that's excellent, Connie. And look, thank you for the sharing your insight there and answering my rather waffled question, first of all, there. When we come back, I'd like to actually discuss something else we talked about off-air, and that was very much around some of the dangers of really outsourcing the SEO and how that can sometimes not be a good thing for businesses. You're listening to Alive 90.5 with Mia and Paul on Power Up. You're listening to Alive 90.5 FM, Power Up, with Mia and Paul and our guest today, Connie. So, Connie, before the break there, we were talking about and as we were talking earlier on a bit about some of the problems of outsourcing SEO and how that can be a real danger for businesses to basically outsource their SEO to somebody, and it might be a contract that might be worth thousands of dollars, but actually how that can also go very wrong for them as well. So maybe you could just elaborate a little bit on some of your thoughts there for our listeners, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think that where most business owners fall into a trap is when they abdicate responsibility for the outcomes of that SEO. So, you know, just like the rest of your employees, there has to be accountability, you know, every month with what's going on. And making sure that you've got reports that have, you know, you want to make sure you're defining your desired outcome. And measuring the right things and making sure that those things are done every month, because you've got to view your website again. I think I've talked about this before, but it's part of a pipeline. It's not, you know, the stopgap or anything like that. It's part of a pipeline. So measuring the right things will tell you what is falling down in that pipeline, whether it is, you know, are your social posts wrong? Are the ads wrong? Or is it, you know, you're getting a lot of traffic from the ads or the social posts, but they're not converting once they hit your website. So that's, and there's another free tool that everybody should be using who has a website, which is called Google Analytics. And again, you know, it can be quite overwhelming when you go onto Google Analytics and there's all this data.
But it'd be overwhelming for me, I can tell you that.
As long as you're measuring, you know, just a couple of things, even if it's only three or four, and measuring the right things, then you can see where what part of your pipeline is falling down and what you should be tweaking to actually get people from your social posts or your ads all the way through to picking up the phone or, you know, filling out that booking form.
Yeah, I guess like anything, it's about measuring the right things, knowing what to measure and having that insight about knowing what to measure. And I think the other key thing I took away from what you said there, Connie, as well, is a little bit like a lot of other things. Outsourcing something isn't necessarily always the solution. And outsourcing without having continued engagement with the outsource provider can be a very dangerous thing to do, and can really, and I guess you could basically say that's the same for other types of outsourcing as well, where sometimes, you know, completely outsourcing the problem is not necessarily going to give a solution the business wants.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's the same as having somebody in house if you're not keeping them accountable and providing, you know, that I guess the human resources behind it, then you're not, you know, you get what you put into
it. Absolutely, yeah.
Connie, no, that's fantastic. You're painting a picture for us that your website is a critical, if not crucial, part of your pipeline. And I think, I mean, I've touched on this at the beginning, that business and organizations who invest in a website don't realize the importance of it, and they just think it's there and it's going to grow. And when they see nothing happening with the website, they make, I imagine, one of the biggest mistakes that they can make, and that is throw thousands of dollars behind Google AdWords. And, you know, in some organizations, it seems like they're just throwing mud against the wall and seeing what's going to stick. What kind of tips and advice can you give us around Google AdWords?
It really comes back down to researching your target audience and making sure you're targeting the right people. And Google AdWords has some great features in being able to really drill down into who you're targeting. But that also takes time. So if you think that you're going to throw $1,000 or $2,000 at Google Ads and, you know, have your people banging down your door in a month, it really doesn't work like that. It is a long, just like SEO, I mean, Google Ads can give you a faster result, but it's still a long-term investment. And because collecting the data, going back to the test, measure, and tweak again, is really important. So if you have, not just diving into it and seeing what happens, but having a 6 to 12-month plan and making sure that those ads are being measured and you're tweaking things for the entire 12 months, that's where you're going to get your money back.
So let's go back to our example of the plumber. And he has a couple of $1,000 in his budget for Google AdWords for the year. How does that process work in terms of identifying the words? I know you've spoken about identifying on certain free tools, but how much value is it just to take a punt and select the wrong words? Just talk us through what, if I came to you and I said, okay, I've got $2,000 for the year to spend, how would you recommend I approach Google AdWords with a budget of $2,000?
I would recommend that you spend at least half of it getting the research done and keep making sure that the user experience. So let's say I click on an ad, you've gone and spent your $2,000 a month on an ad, and I click on your website and it takes 10-20 seconds to load. You've just blown maybe $15 on me clicking on that ad. And I can't even, because nobody's maintaining your website and testing it and making sure that it's healthy and a good user experience, you've just blown all those clicks. People are not going to hang around and wait for it.
So when you say click, with Google AdWords, are you paying per click?
You are paying per click, yes.
Oh, okay. So let's go back to, say, for example, I've got $2,000 for the year. So let's talk about the year, because we know that, you know, tradies don't have that much money that they're going to throw at Google AdWords unless they are making some really good money to cover that. So what is the average cost that you should be looking at spending per click? Is that the right way we want to say it? Or is it per word?
It's per click, and that varies wildly depending on the industry. So, we're talking about, a cost per click from $2 to hundreds of dollars.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so, if a lead or a conversion is worth, like, a lead means that, someone comes across the ad, they click on it and they land on your website. And if you convert that person, and this is one of the measurements that needs to be made, is how much is your cost per conversion, not just your cost per click or how many clicks you're getting, because it doesn't matter if you get 1,000 clicks, but nobody converts. Mm-hmm. Okay? So measuring, now I'm losing my train of thought. So the costs vary wildly, and it's about going after the right keywords so that you're getting a return on investment. So let's say you are a plumber in Castle Hill. You don't necessarily need to go after that keyword if there's keywords opportunities that are cheaper but still bring you in really good clients.
So if I'm paying for a keyword, let's say, for example, I'm paying $50 for plumbing, for example, and I know that it's a short-term strategy. How do I rank organically for that word? In other words, how can I use that word in my website and not have to pay for it?
So SEO takes a lot longer than ads, and that, again, is going back to your research, including the right keywords in the content of your website, making sure that it's your website is, is healthy. It loads fast. It's up to date. It's searchable by Google, and you've got your, at least an SEO plugin set up properly, and you're actually telling Google what keywords you want to rank for.
Beautiful. When we come back from the break, Connie, I just want to very briefly touch on SEO and the future. What are we looking at the future? What business needs to do today in order to be compatible for the future? I know there's been lots of changes, you know, in such a small period of time. So I'd love to get your thoughts on moving forward on that. And also, you are giving away a fantastic prize valued at $1,099. And we have got a little bucket here with names in it. And I think we're going to draw the winner after the break.
We are indeed. Yay. Yes, you're listening to Power Up. Everybody always loves a prize, don't they?
Yeah.
You're listening to Power Up with Mia and Paul on a live 90.5 FM.
Connie, to wrap up, I mean, I think, Paul, you and I can both agree now that this idea of having a website, there's a lot more work involved in it than I mean, I knew about this, but as I was investigating it many years ago, there's so much work involved in having a website, and business owners shouldn't just assume that having a website is a solution.
No, exactly.
It is just a tool, and as with all tools, you need to be using it wisely.
Yeah, a lot more than just putting up a website and thinking job's done.
Yeah, correct.
It's an ongoing piece to keep it updated and refresh the content. So I think we've learned from today from Connie in terms of the value of doing that and how important that is.
Yeah, 100%. Connie, 2030, I mean, in the last 18 months, technology has changed phenomenally, and I know around website you have already educated me in various other meetings we've had about where website design is going and how SEO is changing. Can you give us some of your top tips on what business owners should be doing today with their website in order to make sure they are keeping ahead of the curve?
Absolutely. So in the last few years, everybody was kind of scrambling to make sure that they were mobile ready. So the powers that be were telling us sort of 4 or 5 years ago that, you know, by now 80% of your traffic is going to come from mobile, and they're pretty much on point. So it's a given now that everyone should be mobile friendly, and there's not much more frustrating than, you know, going onto somebody's website and you can't read it properly because it's formatted for desktop. But now what business owners need to be looking at is voice search. And by 2030, it is said that the average number of connected devices that a person will have is 13 per person.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
I struggle with the one that I've got.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I put it half the time.
How on earth is that going to come out? But yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I think personally now, I probably have at least four, being, you know, laptop, Fitbit, Google Home device, things like that. But what that's going to do is give an incredible amount of data. We think that there's already a lot of data being mined on us, but the more personal devices that we, or connected devices that we interact with, the more data that businesses are going to be able to collect on us and use that for marketing purposes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, think about a fridge that's connected. It's going to be able to say to you, hey, you're going to run out of eggs. But it's also going to be able to serve you an ad to say, you know, this local supermarket, Coles, for example, are going to have a special on eggs. So the advertising opportunities are going to be much more personalised, and they're going to be served to you on devices that we probably haven't thought of at the moment.
Mm. And I mean, I suppose your top tip there is that you've got to be mobile optimised.
Yeah,
talk to me about voice
optimised. Voice optimised. So, I don't know about you guys, but I've got a couple of Google Home devices in my house.
Mm, yeah,
and sometimes
I've got a husband. Does that count?
Yeah, but he's technology compliant. Yeah.
So, you know, at the moment we use it for everything from music to timers and, you know, even asking it certain things, like random things throughout the day. For example, if we were playing this smart
Donkey.
Butt game,
yeah.
you know, we could ask it the answers. So the lesson in that is to start making your content more of an answer to questions that people might be asking.
Mm.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Mm.
Oh, I never thought of that before. Beautiful. Now, Connie, you are giving away a free website
tune-up.
Thank you. I was struggling for the word there. So website tune-up
and competitor analysis.
Beautiful. And that's valued at $1,099. And after our conversation today, I think it is absolutely critical and crucial that business and industry go through that practice. Now, we were running a competition, not a competition, but we did have a little, I don't know, run on the website as well as our LinkedIn profiles. And I've put a whole bunch of names in here. We've got about 230 odd names.
Mm.
And I'm just going to... Sorry, that's actually...
We should be a drum roll now, so shouldn't we? We don't have that sound effect. I'm not very good at drum rolls.
Connie, if you could just pull out a name.
And the winner is...
Beautiful. And the winner is Jane Williams from Hip Hampers. Congratulations, Yay. Jane. Connie well will done. Be getting back to you and setting that up with you. That is just absolutely phenomenal. And that's so generous of you, Connie, because I know that takes a lot of time. And business owners probably want to abdicate that responsibility anyway, because if I think about the research I've done on competitors, holy smokes, and then some more.